Absolutely. You've got to think about this holistically.
But I don't think it's content marketing.
We didn't call it content marketing.
Okay.
I would call it content marketing.
I say content marketing is only part of it.
We can have that disagreement.
If we said content marketing is king, that would be a different conversation. We said content is king. So that's this conversation.
Okay.
All right, it's time for the Growth Show. This week, we're going to talk about the number one thing every business must have to grow. Does your business have it? We'll also have a great argument about what content marketing is, and we'll have the growth tool of the week. All that coming up next on the Growth Show.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of The Growth Show. I'm David Johnson, and with me is Rod Thompson, 25 or 30 year, depending on how you rank the facts here. A veteran journalist, published in the New York Times, author of multiple books, currently PR communications wizard. Rod, good to have you.
Thanks.
And Josh Muccio. Josh is the young one of the bunch. I mean, we're gonna probably have a little fun with you over that, Josh. But you've already created and sold your first company, entrepreneur, local SEO wizard. You're both wizards now, sorry. And we have a young wizard and an old wizard, no offense. And
old wizards are better.
We'll see about that, I guess.
I'm not a wizard.
But this is a show. You know, we've talked about what we want to accomplish with the show, and what we really want to accomplish with the show is to not run a typical marketing and PR podcast.
Right.
Because, am I right? It seems like every podcast out there that deals with marketing and PR is for marketers.
Yeah.
Now, all of us are entrepreneurs.
Right.
And all of us are in a small business environment right now. And all of us work with small business owners. And we feel like you, as a small business owner listening to this show, you need to have access to great information, but in a way that you can digest it. And you don't have to be a marketer with all sorts of bizarre, specialized knowledge in order to figure this out.
Well, it seems like most of the stuff out there is written for not local businesses. I mean, if you search for SEO, you better search for local, and hopefully it's good content. But most of the cutting edge stuff out there is not. It's not for normal business people.
You're absolutely right. And of course, what we'll be talking about on the show will also apply to people who serve broader markets, and maybe you're not just entirely local.
Right.
But you're a small business, nonetheless. And so the local factor, though, Josh, you're absolutely right. And the problem that we all have when we run Google searches is, you know, there are 23 million results for this search. Which ones are the experts? Mm. Because if you're hoping that Google is going to figure that out for you, that may or may not work out.
Well, it may not. Obviously, depending on Josh can talk about, you know, the keywords and use of that, the importance for SEO. But I think that I'd like to reemphasize what you're talking about, that our goal is to help business owners, small business owners. And that's really whether they operate in a local market or a regional market, or if they distribute all over the world, really. But if they're a small business owner, they don't have a whole major marketing department. We can offer an awful lot of advice to help them grow their company. And we can do it in a language that they'll understand. And if marketing people find the podcast helpful, well, terrific. No problem with that, but that we're not really aimed at a bunch of other marketers. We're not talking marketers to marketers. We're talking marketer to small businesses that need marketing help.
All right, and we're going to try to keep each other honest, because Josh and I both are geeks. I mean, is it fair to call you a geek, Josh? I feel comfortable calling
you
a geek.
Yeah, I should have wore my geek shirt today.
It's okay. You look good. It's all right. And we are in the habit of live streaming when we record. And so we'll talk about that more later. So if you're listening to the show and you decide, you know, I want to be more involved in this podcast and ask questions while it's being produced and all of that.
Or tell them they said something wrong.
Well, you could do that too.
Better be able to back it up though.
says the journalist who wants you to cite your sources. We're gonna have a good time. I guess that's the bottom line. We're gonna have a good time, and Google Hangouts is the technology that you would use to do that live if you wanted to check it out. But I'm excited about this, guys, because I really feel like there are a lot of small businesses trying to figure out what the heck do I do right now. Because the world of marketing has exploded. Technology is involved. We've got social media. You've got search engines. You've got outreach, traditional outreach, like through publications. All of these things are options. And it's like, what the heck do I do to grow my business? Where do I start? And all of that good stuff. And so today we have teed up a topic that we believe every business has to have. You have to be addressing our topic today in your business, if you're going to grow.
Right. And that is that content is king and always will be. And it's something that we at the Thompson Group focus on a lot because we think it's critical to any business's success. Whatever the medium is for communicating your message, and that changes over time. It changes a lot over time. I mean, you know, it was Gutenberg Press, started things a little bit there. Dead Sea Scrolls before that. Let's face it, things have changed a little bit since then.
Town Crier. I mean, there's ways to do it low tech.
There are ways to do it low tech.
Sign spinners are still up.
Those aren't really so effective. Well, okay, sign spinners. there you go. There is still some low tech that works. But the point is,
we're not really advocating for it, though. Just to,
is you know, that the break. Medium is...
I just kicked the dog.
Is critical.
Watch the dog, will you? I mean, she's only 2.5 pounds.
You could hurt that thing, Josh.
Yeah, you can hurt. She's at your feet. I get it. I understand.
All right. So content, you got to have good content. And what we mean by content is the message you're communicating about your business. Content is obviously your service or your product, but then how you communicate that service or product to the people you want to buy that service or product.
Absolutely.
And so the method for doing that is something we'll discuss extensively, and it'll get all geeky. And part of my role will be to make sure that you two guys keep it translated into English for small business owners.
We're glad to have you here, by the way.
Thank you. It's good for that. I can do that because I'll keep saying, what?
Yeah.
The heck?
Okay, but before we get into all of that, we have to talk about the brew of the day. And, we're all coffee addicts here. Caffeine is an essential ingredient for life and business. And so I have... That's not me. If you can tell because I'm talking while that's happening.
Josh, come on.
I am responsible for the brew today. And we started with the pour-over method, and then we switched to the French press because we just didn't have enough volume coming out of the pour-over. It was taking too long. But I will apologize now for the brew. Is it a little stronger for you, though, now,
this
Rod?
The French press is good. Yeah. The first one was good, Dave. They're both good. Okay. The French press is even better.
But Josh did have a little fun at my expense when he walked in and saw what I was brewing.
Well, you told me beforehand. I mean,
it's true. I did snap the photo of the bag so you could see it.
You said you were a coffee snob, and then you picked up Starbucks coffee.
I'm not quite confident yet in my roasting, so I just didn't want to, you to it.
What do you use when you roast?
I use a hot air popper, like a corn popper. It's designed for small batches. You don't want to do large volume. But hey, you know you should always roast in small batches anyway, right?
I imagine that smells amazing.
It does smell good, but you can burn it. And
that doesn't smell good.
And it's actually really messy. Believe it or not, the hulls come off, and it's like you don't do this indoors. You do this like out on the back porch or in the garage or someplace where you can sweep it up. But I will roast some coffee for one of our upcoming shows. But yeah, we are drinking Starbucks Gold Coast today. And the big reason is because my go-to bag of coffee at Starbucks for when I'm not roasting is Verona. And for whatever reason, they were out. So.
All right. Well, if we can get back to the content then for our small business
Well,
owners.
People have to know, what fuels this podcast.
It's important. And if anybody sees, they'll see that we all have our coffee going. And it's possible that the podcast gets going even better as we continue to drink our
coffee. I think we have a growth tool of the day.
We do have a growth tool of the day. That's
right. Coffee.
Coffee. Excellent.
You're not going to write good content if you can't drink a cup or two.
I'm not.
We're going to need to, in the show notes for today, link to some resources for people who do not yet understand the benefits of caffeine. Because, it's often lampooned in the media and attacked as harmful to your health and all these other things.
I have the classic story for that I pull out for everybody that says, oh, too much coffee will kill you. At one point, the oldest man that was alive in the United States, he was like 114 or something, he was asked shortly before he passed on, being interviewed, and he was
ironically.
Asked, yeah, ironically. Well, he's 114. It was getting inevitable. But he was He was asked, what's the secret to your longevity? And he said, coffee, it's the elixir of life. And I have hung on to that for a decade and used it over and over over.
How much did he drink?
He didn't specify. I mean, he was 114. He might not remember. But
well, there is that.
But coffee, it's the elixir of life. I'm just saying, the man was 114. Well, I think he had some credibility on the issue.
My story is pretty similar. I was traveling, working for a client in Miami one day, and I had some time to kill in the evening, and I walked into a Barnes & Noble. Remember back when we had bookstores that we visited? I know they still exist. Anyway, so I was in Miami on Miracle Mile, and I wandered into the Barnes & Noble, and there was, sitting on this prominently featured, you know, table full of books, The Caffeine Advantage. And that book changed my life because it justified my caffeine habit for me.
There you go. Okay, so I saw on Twitter yesterday that caffeine cures cancer. I didn't click through the article.
See, you got to cite that, though. If I see that article, I want citations. Rod, I want to know who did the studies. I want to know who funded the studies. I mean, because otherwise, well, that's because why I'm all on board with the results. I just want to know if they're actually true or not.
Okay, so that's why you would appreciate the Caffeine Advantage. Then we'll move on to Content is King. But the Caffeine Advantage actually cites a lot of studies. And the chief problem with studying caffeine is that no one owns a patent on it. Therefore, no big corporation will fund the studies required to get the FDA's attention enough to say that it actually does some of the things that it does. Like, I don't know about the cancer thing, but
I think bad coffee would cause cancer, personally.
I think it causes road rage. Bad coffee causes, like, road rage and other negative things in life. I mean, you know, it can be bad, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marital angst.
Marital angst. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, why is growth marketing king? And I was wondering, king of what?
Yeah. So
exactly.
excuse me. That shows just how professional we are.
Well, everybody's heard of content is king.
Right.
Maybe, but what is that even? Who invented that?
Oh, look, I think.
King of what?
Well, part of it is that there's a little alliteration going on. I don't think you'll find out who invented content is king.
A little alliteration. Say that fast three times.
Regarding content is king. But my contention and my central contention is that companies succeed based on their content. You know, we talked about that a little bit. And their content is what they produce or what their service is, and then how they relay that message about what they produce to their company. So in other words, I'll just start right off with an example. I had a client who... they were very techie. They were software engineer people, and they had written some great stuff. They had what seemed to me like a pretty good product, and they were driving tons. They were doing everything right to drive tons of hits to their website, and they weren't translating that into sales very well at all. And so I met with them, and I went over their website, and I could see why. Because their website clearly revealed all their tech savviness in its full jargon glory. The problem was their target audience was not them, it was realtors. And realtors could have no idea what they were talking about. I had no idea what they were talking about on their site, really. And I said, you got to translate this into language that your audience understands. And when we did that, and that was their about page, that was their product description page, that was their Facebook page. I mean, we went through all their stuff. That was their background materials for media releases. We changed everything so that realtors, basically just average people, could understand what their company was about. And they immediately started seeing results then, both in person and on their website. And so that's why I'm saying the content was actually more important than their website or their print materials or anything. The content was what was and how it was being relayed was clearly being an anchor to their growth.
So what you're talking about is timeless.
It sounds like marketing copy.
You know, content is important. But in the digital era, the age of Google, so to speak, Josh, why is it that change might have actually not just affected a decision that someone would make after they saw the website, but would potentially also affect the number of people who saw the website?
Changing the copy on the homepage?
Yeah.
Keywords.
Changing the text,
right?
In general.
We certainly included the keywords that they wanted for high SEO.
Okay, so but like keywords is like a that's another example of a piece of jargon. I think a lot of business owners hear the word keywords and they think, what the heck?
I appreciate you translating my jargon. That
Thank
was
you.
Good, David.
I'm trying
twist.
To be you, Rod.
Nice twist.
See, some of this is you've been assimilated into the Borg.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
See, now I'm kind of lost. Okay. I thought content marketing was what you wrote on your blog.
That's only an element of it.
Right.
Right. But so surely a blog is one way, obviously, I mean, as you guys know, a blog on a WordPress platform, best of all, is a way to drive great SEO for right. your site.
Right. But I think of blogging as, or I'm sorry, I think of content marketing as infographics, podcasting.
Okay.
Any sort of free, helpful content for the customer.
Okay.
And usually that's not your copy on your homepage or your radio ad or... So, I mean, those are all just marketing copy. That's different from content marketing.
Well, that's why I don't call it content marketing. I just call it content. Because all the content marketing would be subsumed within content.
Okay, so I'm going to give you guys both an example. We had a client several years ago who was a florist. And I tell the story a lot, so if people have heard me speak, they've probably heard this story. But Becky here in town, she's in Sarasota here, which is... By the way, just lovely and gorgeous this time of year.
It's January.
It's still too hot.
Yeah, it's warm.
A little warm, but that doesn't bother anybody up north.
Yeah, but the sunshine is great. Anyway, so Becky was having a hard time because her business did not show up. In fact, her web designers, who referred her to me, couldn't find her website in Google if you ran the search. In her case, florist was the big word that they knew that people would use. Sarasota. Now, the name of her business is Flowers by Fudgy. Okay?
Oh.
Do you know who she is, Becky?
Yeah.
It's Fudgy is just such a... Anyway, the founder, the original creator of the business, that was her name or nickname or something. But anyway. So Becky came to us and she said, what do I do? And so I actually had a tool that found her website for the search Florist Sarasota. On the 112th page of the Google results.
Oh, my.
Not the 112th result, which would have been on, what, page 11? It was the 112th page of the results, and that was why nobody could find it. It's why she didn't get good traffic.
It's bad.
Okay, so you know what we did? We did a little analysis on her website, and we discovered that there was a word that was never used anywhere on her website. She didn't have a blog yet at the time.
Sarasota.
Nope. Word Sarasota was prominently featured.
Flowers?
Nope, that was prominently featured. It's in her name. The word florist never appeared, not even once.
Local.
On her website.
On her website. Florist
never used.
Wow.
So this is the thing. People assume that Google knows what your website is about because maybe you put it in a meta keyword, area or something, which, by the way, is not a smart thing to do.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, not only does it not matter, but it can actually hurt.
Yeah.
Google can penalize
Say,
you.
Now, if you're going to get after me for saying keyword, you can't just throw out meta keyword and move on.
Okay, so meta keywords are the old trick of showing Google and the other search engines data about your site.
It's a tag system.
It's a tag system.
It's like tagging a post.
But it's not visible to humans unless they go view the source code on the page. Anybody can see it if you right-click and hit view source in your browser.
Right.
But a lot of SEO people, ironically... still recommend this practice, even though Google has been penalizing people for it, if done improperly anyway.
Interesting, because WordPress provides you the opportunity and encourages you to do that.
Nuh-uh.
Not WordPress out of the box.
Okay.
There may be plugins that recommend it, but even the top SEO plugin on the WordPress platform tells you, I don't know why the heck you would want to do this. But
there's Yoast.
Yoast does it.
Yeah.
He allows you to do it, but the warning is in the description, like, I don't know why you would want to do this because this is bad.
Yeah. Interesting. So,
but yeah, Yoast does have a spot for it if you wanted to put it in. So they had put it in her keywords, in her meta keywords, so it wasn't humanly visible.
Right.
But the actual verbiage used on our website, the copy, never said the word florist anywhere. So I had kind of a humorous phone call with her web developers and said, guys.
You idiot.
You sort of have to use the word on the page somewhere if you want it to work. Now, we all probably know the Google bomb story about President Bush. Josh, you're a young whippersnapper. You might not know this story.
No.
So before President Obama, we had a President Bush. Just FYI.
He's He's old enough, I think, to have known that happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I don't think he would know, like, what party was he from and all that. No, I'm kidding. So, there was a Google bot. I'm teeing you up, all right? Yeah. There was a...
That was low.
There was a Google... Sorry. There was a Google bomb that was...
gets lower.
that was pulled by a group of bloggers, and they linked to the bio page on the whitehouse.gov website about... Actually, the research showed it only took about 25 or 30 links to pull this off. But for a while, if you Googled the phrase miserable failure,
oh, that's awesome.
The George Bush bio, George W. Bush bio page would come up.
Who
as
searches
number,
miserable failure?
Well, they told everybody to search it. Right. I mean, it was kind of a humorous liberal blogger prank.
Right.
Well, and it was pretty, actually, it was great.
Pretty well done.
It was really funny.
Mm-hmm. Pick a term nobody would actually search for normally.
Exactly, yeah. So it was easy to do.
Easy to rank for.
But the key was that the phrase miserable failure obviously did not appear in the copy on the page.
Right.
And so they were able to pull this off. But we're talking about during the Bush presidency, in fact, during his first term. And this is about 2001, 2002. That's not actually even possible anymore. If what they did was anchor text-based links. So their links all used the phrase miserable failure, pointed to his bio page, and they got... him to rank number one for miserable failure, and it was a pretty fun little stunt. That's not possible anymore because Google's algorithm weights the content on the page higher than the anchor text on the incoming links. So, Rod, I'm sure I've just...
Yeah, what's anchor text?
...stopped speaking English.
I'm sorry, were you saying something, David?
So anchor text is, you know, when you click, like... you see a phrase, like I might send you an email, Josh, that says, hey, you know, click here to go to the website... And I link that phrase, click here to go to the website, to thegrowthshow.com.
Yeah.
So the phrase, click here to go to the website, is called the anchor text because that's the text that I'm linking. You can also create links that just say http://, you know, thegrowthshow.com. And there's no anchor text per se in that link. The anchor text is just the URL. But if you say click here or our website or the growth show and you link that.
That's anchor text.
That's anchor text. Absolutely.
Cool.
And those are important, but that's an old SEO trick, and a lot of SEOs are still out there peddling links, selling links, saying you need to use anchor text links, and this is how this works. And that's just the cat and the dog fighting over the dog food. It's okay.
We can talk about this later, but it's still important.
It does not. I don't want to say that it's not important at all, but...
And there's a common misconception.
Okay, talk about the common misconception. Let's dive into it.
Okay, this is kind of diving ahead a little bit. But
that's okay.
So assuming you have a website... and you have a blog on that website or externally, either way. It's very common to link back to the pages on your website. So
the cat's just attacking something in the other room. We're recording in my house. So for those of you at home, keep
it. There's animals on the inside here too.
Yeah, we have all kinds of interesting things happening. So Josh is losing his train of thought because the cat's attacking something ferociously in the other room.
I didn't know if I needed to be concerned. So you have this blog. You're linking to other pages on your website. So let's take the Flowers by Fudgy example.
Sure.
So she wants to rank for florist Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a page on her website, if it's her home page or a separate page, that's florist in Sarasota is the name of the page. What is that cat doing?
I really don't know.
So you would think, I don't want to use anchor text when linking to florist in Sarasota to that page on my website. No, you absolutely do, and you can't do it enough as long as it's internally on your website.
Correct.
Or your blog.
Links from a different website that are anchor text focused like that can actually result in penalties if there are too many of them.
It's better if it's a brand name.
Sure.
So if somebody's linking to our website, even if it's the Sarasota page, a separate from the homepage, they should say, hey, Flowers by Fudgy in Sarasota, or whatever the external writer wants to write is the bottom line. But internally, you want to use those keywords linking between your pages as much as possible.
Absolutely. And the reason that it's a bad idea externally is because so many search engine optimization people, the SEO types, did so much link optimization, link building.
They're trying to hack the system.
Absolutely. And Google has just simply gotten better at finding people trying to game the system.
So once you wade through that and you're doing that pretty well, then people... You get people, say, to your website or reading your blog or whatever, and that's where the content, the communication, the explanation of what you do, the message that you're trying to get across still remains King. And I lost all hope of alliteration at that point.
I'm sorry.
But that's all right. But it's still King, because that's the point. That's where like the rubber meets the road. You've got the car revved up. You got everything's going. But now, will it run? Are you going to actually make something happen? Are you going to be able to communicate your message? And to me, that's where I keep coming back to. That's where a lot of companies keep, especially small business companies, that, you know, they might, I mean, I'm talking seriously. I'm talking, well, you, we won't go into it, but I recommended a plumbing company to you, and you help them, and they're doing their blogging. But how they communicate their message is critically important at that point, at that juncture, because you've reached a critical juncture with your potential customer or client.
When they
that
land
point.
On your website.
So I think
I'm sorry, what?
When they land on your website.
By the time they already get there.
Right.
So
if you use, excuse me, and this is extremely low tech, but I am shocked at how much this still is used, brochures. And we do brochures for people too. And people.
You mean?
Businesses love print. Yeah, they print it out on paper. It's like paper that comes from dead trees.
With ink on it?
Yep. And that's it. And
you're doing this in 2015?
Yep. And it is because they want, and here's why.
I don't think that's content marketing.
Here's why. No, it's content.
It is content.
Content marketing is over here.
Okay,
content
wait a second.
Content is up here.
All right.
Content marketing is over here.
Halt. All right. See, sometimes I'm going to have to fight. I'm going to stop the fights between you guys.
You know, sometimes a ref gets
help
hurt.
Help us.
Let me stop you for a second, because content marketing has been around since long before the web.
Right.
And in fact, one of the greatest examples is John Deere Tractors. In 1895, they started publishing a magazine called The Furrow, which taught farmers how to be more profitable. They taught them how to get more yield out of their crops. They taught them how to do all this stuff. And of course, it was published by John Deere. And ironically, that publication is still in print. 1895 to today, and they currently have over 1.5 million readers in 40 countries, and they publish in 12 different languages. Brilliant example of content marketing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's content marketing. But my point is that if you take it on a flow sheet and you put content at the top, content marketing is one of the arms that comes down for it. But there's other types of marketing. There's just straight communications that comes down from it also. And so what I'm saying there is, whether, you know, blog site, website, or brochure. And what I was going to say is that people like brochures because that's mechanically, that's something they can leave on a desk with somebody. And sometimes they feel like they're more apt to reflect on that, to go back to that, rather than having to pull up a website or an email or something. It's something physical. So they like going that route also. But that requires good content in there, good communications, if you prefer the word communications, or good messaging, if you like messaging better. And again, we can create different forms of alliteration for that. But all of those things are, to me, in the same area there. You gotta tell people right what you want them to hear.
I think you're right. But
thank you.
I think everything you're saying is true, but content marketing for me is a campaign that you do that can drive enormous amounts of traffic to your website, to your brand.
Absolutely correct.
And is the central point of your marketing online.
Sure.
That's what
sure
I understand content marketing to be.
We're going to have a lot of fun with this.
But that's true. And so we have no disagreement there.
Because we're
just
talking
only
about,
saying that's one part of
this is the growth show,
or
right?
Communication.
Yeah, we're talking about
this
growing businesses. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think most people, when they look at the title of this podcast, which is Content is King.
This episode, sure, yeah.
I don't think they're thinking about brochures. I think they're thinking about their blog. How do they drive more traffic to their website?
It holistically. They should be thinking about the whole thing.
So this is where my strategist brain steps in and says, absolutely, you've got to think about this holistically.
But I don't think it's content marketing.
We didn't call it content marketing.
Okay.
I would call it content marketing.
Content marketing is only part of it.
We can have that disagreement.
If we said content marketing is king, that would be a different conversation. We said content is king. So that's this conversation.
Okay. So I have some statistics here.
Actual data.
What's the citation?
We'll get back to that. Hey, and by the way, we publish show notes with every show, so we will cite sources in the notes.
Yes.
If we don't on air.
Yeah. Right. So, this is from Moz.
Okay.
He says, content is king. And why not? The statistics are staggering, with 92% of marketers reportedly doing content marketing, and 58% of B2B marketers, and 60% of B2C marketers planning to increase their content marketing spends in 2015. And then he says, so what makes content marketing such a magic bullet?
Does he answer it?
Shall we play a drum roll here? I mean,
he goes on to say that it's actually not the magic bullet. Doing it the right way, it can be. But he goes on to say that most people go, okay, I want to do content marketing. So you start on it, you get going, you write a few blog posts, and you're expecting this enormous growth. What most of the time happens is not the Facebook like. It's the, meh.
Right.
That was content.
Yeah, your content's boring.
That's right, because content matters in content marketing and in all the rest of your content or your communications or your messaging, and of which content marketing is one portion of it, and it's a critical portion. Now, it's the part that, it's obviously a buzzword, it's a catchphrase here that's been very popular because it's been apparently fairly effective and a lot of companies are using it, but there's a whole lot of people doing it that I suspect don't really know what they're doing. In part because they don't understand the technical side, which you guys can explain, and they're not good at making their message clear, which is something that I can help with.
So are we doing another podcast later on?
This is clearly
about content marketing.
This is clearly a multi-podcast topic.
What we've done here is opened a series of cans of worms.
Yes.
And I think
I got worms everywhere and a dog and a cat.
So your question is valid. I think we should do a podcast on a lot of these different topics that we're hitting here. I think we should do an episode about a lot of these topics.
I just need to know where we're going from here. Are we just going to keep talking about content, or are we going to talk about content marketing specifically?
So why don't you tell us what you see as content marketing? You started a list earlier, infographics, blog posts. What else? Like what in your framework, in your way of approaching it is
anything that's helpful for the users.
Okay.
So even if it's a list post of your favorite resources or, you know, to learn more about flowers.
Where does that post appear?
It could appear on your blog.
Okay.
I mean, most of the time it does. I mean, even if you do, okay, so video, that's also content marketing.
Sure it is, yeah.
I mean, I would always recommend that whatever piece of content marketing you have, no matter what the medium, you somehow link to it on your blog or embed it in your blog. And you know, I actually wanted to talk about how do you hack your content marketing campaign for both, so that even if the results for people are meh, at least Google will see it and start to give you better rankings.
And that was a little bit where I was trying to take you earlier with my question. Okay, so Rod's talking about using good content on the site so that once people get there, they're intrigued enough to move to the next step, whatever that next step is.
But I think of good content as being content that's so darn good that people want to share it on
shareability, that's a whole other question.
That's what I think of content marketing as.
Okay, all right.
It's shareable content.
Something people that people are likely to share.
People aren't going to share the homepage content on your website and think it's amazing.
No, but if they share the blog post, that can drive people to your homepage. And then you
so
still
that's
have
what
to
I think
get
of
back.
As content marketing.
So I'll use one example just to play the devil's advocate here of what I saw as brilliant homepage content that got shared like crazy. Have you guys ever seen a product called Poo-Pourri?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'm familiar with Potpourri.
So this is Poo-Pourri.
Okay.
And they got a lady with a British accent
is
to explain.
Dog involved? I see your cat's rear right over there. So.
No, this is a product that you literally spray in the toilet bowl before you go so that when you're at the office or at your friend's house or at a party or whatever, by the time you leave the room, there is no trace of odor. Okay.
So this is something you take with you?
It's a little bottle, yeah. And it's heavily marketed at the feminine market. They have a female
that makes sense.
Who is the pitch person. She's brilliant and it's funny.
But your product has to be so incredibly unique.
And this one is. Okay.
I'm saying most local businesses aren't.
Right.
So what do you talk about then with a local business? By the way, we'll link to the Poo-Pourri thing because it's hilarious. You have to watch the video. But what do you... So this is a problem that a lot of businesses face. I mean, they'll even come to me, you know, and Rod, I'm sure you've had the same conversation with them. They come to you and say, my product is boring. My service is boring. We do boring stuff. We clean houses. We paint walls. We, fix toilets. It's boring stuff, right? So what do you do?
Well, I'll jump in real quick. I mean, I know you addressed it to Josh, but he paused.
I'm not the best person to talk about content I just know the strategy from an SEO perspective. So even if your content's crap, I know how to at least get some rewards from Google from it.
So we need to hit that pretty hard before we wrap up today, because that's one of the big reasons content is king. I mean, one of them is the point Rod's making, which is once people see the content, you want them to engage or share it, as you pointed out, Josh, right?
Right.
And you want them to take a next step.
Right.
That we can talk about what the next step is, but that's a whole other thing. So Rod, what do you do when somebody says,
I have a boring company doing boring work, and there's 20 others in this community doing the same boring work. How do I stand apart from them?
And none of us in my team are funny. We don't write well. Right. We're not interesting people.
First of all, I just start talking to them and I get their story. One of the things that really helps, I think, is find out how they got into it, why they got into it. And that, you know, finding out that sort of thing. Everybody, I'm convinced of this general principle in life. Everybody has a story to tell. And sometimes you need to find your uniqueness based in who you are as much as what your service is. Whether that really impacts your service or not, it can help you tell a story and it can set you apart from, you know, your competition, because you might have a very unique story to tell. And I can take that unique story and really spin that nicely for them to help set them apart from others. And then somebody like Josh can help make sure that a lot of people get to see that story.
So you've spent 30 years taking topics and trying to figure out, first of all, which ones are the interesting topics. Because as a journalist, if you run boring stories, people quickly move on.
Right.
And they don't read your publication anymore, whether it's a daily. I know you worked in daily newspapers for a long time.
Right.
You've worked in other types of publications. So you get that. You understand where to find the interesting stuff. Like, you have a nose for that. Am I right?
Right.
Right. And as an editor, you had journalists who weren't as swift at that, and you had to help them. Right.
Right. Absolutely. Assign them stories, kill stories.
Yeah. Okay. So that's part of the deal, is that you understand how to tell a story. And I think we should probably do a podcast purely on story. I mean, I think there's an episode in there. If you run a business that needs help in that area, I think we could talk about all the ways to find the interest level.
I'd love to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I would too, actually.
I agree. I could learn from it.
So, Josh, let's talk about what you're saying, which is, I think, a really, really huge deal. Yes, there's video, blog posts, infographics, other pieces of content, some of which can be shareable and so forth. But even if they're not, let's say that somebody's just cranking out boring content all the time, why should they keep at it?
Google obviously is a bot. It's not a human looking through your website. And as important as it is to have...
Bot is short for robot.
It's somebody's visiting your website that's not a person.
Right.
And it's taking all that data and putting it into the Google algorithm or whatever other search engine.
I heard
about
of one once. I think it was called Bing.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not important. It's, you know, anyway, go ahead.
No, I would... Actually, this is... Rob, wouldn't you think of him as being the one guy in the circle that would use Bing?
Completely.
Yeah.
No way in the world would I use Bing. That is such a piece of crap search engine. It's just not even funny. I'm sorry if you work for Microsoft and you're listening.
So who are the authors of Bing then?
Yeah, it's a little known company from Redmond. Go ahead.
So anyway, this bot takes a look at your website. And it's just a purely known fact. Google likes websites with blogs. They like brands with blogs because it means you're invested in what you're doing. It helps your website stick out from the millions of other websites that are out there. And even if you're just competing in your local market, they're going to prefer the website with the blog that's regularly producing content. So,
and when you say regularly, do you mean like once on the first of the month they crank out like 5 or 10 blog posts and then they let it sit for 30 days?
No. It doesn't even matter if it's only one blog post a month.
Okay.
That's better than nothing. And I think, you know, we're just assuming that we know our target audience here, which hopefully we do. But most business owners don't have the time or don't want to take the time to sit down and write an amazing blog post every week or every month. They're busy. And even if they put it on their schedule, even on their calendar, it's the one thing that's not pressing that they don't have to get done right now.
It's not urgent. And I don't get a new customer just because I wrote a blog post today.
Right.
So.
And my issue is when I start to write a blog post, it has to be perfect. It all of a sudden becomes this really... So as much as I understand how you can actually get value from Google without writing amazing content, I can't get past the fact that I'm writing something that's going to go out and it represents me, and I need to make it good.
And it's got your name on it.
Exactly.
And so you got a little perfectionist streak going.
So
it's okay.
I never write the blog post, or it never gets finished and never gets published.
Mm.
So and that's not so effective that way.
Exactly. So,
and there are a lot of people in that situation, or they're so self-conscious about their own writing, you know, that they just can't, you know, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Or they try and they end up failing.
Well, my reaction to that is pay somebody to do it.
Right.
Absolutely.
There are plenty of either find somebody local, or there are services online that help connect you with a writer that's good on your topic.
Yep, I'm meeting with a company this afternoon, and that's specifically what we're talking about in helping them is running their blog and all. So,
and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It is, because
it's absolutely
that's not
okay.
Even if it's crap.
Right.
Not if it doesn't meet up to your business owner's standards, still push publish on those posts regularly.
I know, even
if it's once a month.
I know we need to wrap this one up, but I wanted to say something because Josh just mentioned something and I know I'm supposed to be the word guy, but he just said something that was gold. I thought he said blogs mean you're invested in what you're doing. I really like that. So that means that blog is not just for Google and all, which it is, but it also can tell potential customers you're serious enough about what you do that you're going to be writing about it for free for anybody to see. That's really golden.
Yeah, it is. And we can talk about all the ways to monetize this content on other episodes. And I think that's going to be one of the things that we need to get into, because, okay, fine, I got content. People came to the website. You know, Josh, you and I both know being number one in Google for a given search phrase does not necessarily mean you got new business. And part of that's, Rod, what you were talking about. Okay, yeah, you got to hook them once you get them. I mean, your bait might pull them in, but if you don't have a hook or a
conversion optimization.
You know, yeah, so you've got to do things to turn visitors into prospects or visitors into customers. If it's an e-commerce situation, you got to sell them on the spot, you know. So we can talk about all the different ways to monetize the content, I think, on a future episode. I think that would be great.
And how to measure it.
You got to measure, absolutely. But Josh, you mentioned something earlier that I just want to hit on. I actually, in my world, think of content marketing a little more broadly than what you said. But part of it, too, for me is the stuff I give away for free, which you're talking about, right? All the video content, blog posts, whatever it might be. Those are items that I consider top of the funnel items. And I think we should do a show on funnels, you know, just so we can help people understand what a funnel is. But top of the funnel, meaning these are people that are just finding out. I'm creating a first impression. I'm giving away stuff for free. But in my world, the content marketing goes much further than that. There are going to be pieces of content.
Cornerstone.
That are valuable enough that I'm only going to give it to you. I'm still not going to charge you for it, but I'm going to require that you enter another level of my funnel to get it. You need to give up your email address, you know, so that I can email it to you and follow up with you about it and so on. Or maybe I might require something like a Facebook like or something else to get people into that.
And what you're saying there is important. That can sound like that's for marketers to know, but that's actually very important for a small business to be able to do that. Any small businessman can do that.
You know, we've got to
make that happen.
We've got a client who's a pest control company that you guys both know.
Oh, they're terrific.
And we helped them. In fact, I think we should have Dean as a guest. I think you let him talk about the actual stats. He's a riot. But by incorporating some automated email follow-up into their process, they had a giveaway online, essentially, that required a sign-up via email. And that turned into, by just hooking those people into an email campaign and following up with them, someone sat down and wrote the email messages one time, right? So you're going to think about what would a customer need to be communicated with about during this process, and then turned it on automatic pilot. And that one component increased their sales so dramatically that it far paid for the cost of the whole campaign in 1 month. And I'll let him share the statistics. The increase in sales is staggering from just that one simple step. And at that moment, there was no change in their website copy. Wasn't any change in their frequency of blogging. They're still blogging once a week, before and after. But they're just hooking those people and actually selling them in the process. So it resulted in actual real revenue. And all of that is part of what I would consider. So I would consider part of the content marketing campaign the automated emails that went out. right? Those are all pieces of content that help contribute to that campaign.
But, I mean, it sounds to me like we're talking about marketing in general, all of it, as being content now.
Well, how do you market without content?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you mentioned something earlier, Rod, about businesses thinking holistically. If you're listening to this today and you don't have a content strategy in place, if you don't know how to message your business, if you haven't thought through who your target audience is, Josh mentioned earlier, you know, who are your best customers? Those are some of the questions you need to be asking yourself right now. You know, how do I think through who I'm writing for or shooting video for or creating infographics for, and what should it say?
Right. I had like four little things I wanted to say just real quickly.
Let's hit them. Yeah.
What's good content? Good content is that which hits the target market.
Okay.
And if you want to insert communications or messaging for content, that's fine. Good content has focused message and stays on it. Good content is simple, clean, and direct. In other words, jargon-free. Jargon absolutely is a death trap. And good content is honest and accurate, because once you've destroyed your reputation with dishonesty, it's almost impossible to get it back. So those are four points that I have that are requirements for good content.
Well, and what I would say is to most business owners, I think you're afraid when you sit down to write something, you're afraid that your competition will steal it or somehow you're giving away trade secrets. And my encouragement is to share it anyway. Give something away that you're tempted to keep to yourself, because that's truly what ends up being good content for people.
Yep.
And, you know, don't be afraid if people in your industry end up copying what you're doing, either copying your strategy or copying, you know, how you're marketing your business. Don't be afraid of that. I mean, it's okay to be a leader in your industry and to have others in your industry looking at you and visiting your website.
In fact, there's even some Google benefit to being the first in your space, especially locally, to get started on this stuff. Because a lot of times,
yeah,
Google will factor a long-term reputation into
absolutely
results. So if you got started first, man, you're out of the gate, you're ahead, and you're going to stay ahead. It's going to be hard for somebody to catch you if you're good at what it,
yeah,
especially if you get started. I don't want to say if you're good at it. We all start out terribly at it. I often say anything worth doing is worth doing poorly.
At least do it.
Yeah. And I was using that phrase on stage one time at a conference with Tom Ziegler in the audience, who's Zig Ziegler's son.
Oh, great.
And he stopped me and said, "You know the rest of that quote, don't you?" And I went, "Don't tell me I just used one of your dad's, you know, quotes." And sure enough, it was a Zig Ziegler quote. And the rest of the quote was, "Until you learn how to do it well."
Okay.
Right? So you got to start, though. You start doing it poorly, and then you get better.
Really? Well, and there's some tips. We can talk about this in another episode. Yeah. Things that even people who have blogs are not doing right to make their pages web rank.
Absolutely.
Via some updated Google standards. Nobody's doing it.
Awesome.
So if you can be the first to do it, and then as the rest of the industry catches on, again, like you're saying, head start.
Head start, absolutely. So I want to hear that. I want to hear what you've been talking about, Rod. I want to hear more. I want to hear about funnels. So I think we've got lots of, we're going to sort through all of this and figure out what our next episode's going to be about. But if you enjoyed today, we want to hear from you. Go to thegrowthshow.com. This episode is actually our very first, so it's thegrowthshow.com/001. And you can find the show notes from today. I want to encourage you to subscribe. We'll put an email mechanism in there for you to subscribe. You can also find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. Find us on any of your favorite podcatching platforms. And tune in, and we'll look forward to sharing great information for you next time. Now, I think we have a tool of the week.
Yes.
Am I right? So, what's the tool of the week?
Who is the tool of the week?
Well, there's two tools of the week, right?
I'm doing the other tool of the week.
We have a tool of the week, which is like a tech tip, a tool, a web-based thing, a something. And then we have the other kind of tool, which we'll talk about separately, and that's a little bit more fun. So who's got a tool that we want to talk about?
Okay. I'm going to talk about the other tool of the week.
Okay, so we're skipping the tech tool. We're just going right to the other tool.
Right, and that would be what is known as Deflategate. The New England Patriots apparently deflating 13 of 14 balls in their championship game against the Colts, in which they won 45-7. I don't think anybody suggests that the deflated balls made the difference. But the fact is they cheated. The cheating cheaters cheated. And it's not like cheating cheaters cheated is something that would show up high in a Google search for Bill Belichick, but I think it might. And I think if your hackers out there could get that going, it probably would.
I smell a Google bomb coming. Uh-huh. Okay, so cheaters cheating cheated. Is that what you're saying?
And they got caught too. But they're not exactly being punished in that they are going to be in the Super Bowl.
So Belichick is nothing. This is nothing new for him.
Oh my gosh, no! He's been charged with deflating balls before, and they had Spygate where they were spying on the Jets coaches.
Yeah, they're recording stuff in the locker rooms.
Yeah,
guy's a dirtbag. I don't think is a strong enough word for this guy. He is definitely a tool.
You know how there's those lines you don't cross?
Wow.
He is unaware that such lines exist. Apparently,
I think he's just well crosses, aware. I'm sorry. I think he knows full. And so I'm actually looking forward. I'm not a Seahawks fan. Forgive me, but I am looking forward to seeing somebody stomp the Patriots this time just because I want to see Belichick and Brady get beat.
And, you know, I don't want to go too far into sports here, but here's something in this little tool of the week segment.
It's almost like politics and religion, isn't it? It's pretty sacred territory, yeah.
But I could not believe this because they tested the Colts balls too and found out they weren't deflated. And I went, what the heck? There are different balls the teams use when the Colts are on
the
field.
Each team is required to supply 12
balls. No.
That's
the
way it
works. That is an absolute invitation for the
Belichicks
of the world.
And 2.5 hours before the game, the refs have to see the balls and they test them and they check them and make sure they're okay.
So easily fixed. If the NFL had any backbone, so easily fixed. The NFL will supply 30 balls for this game. Done.
Okay.
Done and done. Okay.
But then you pay off the guy watching the balls. I mean, this doesn't go away.
But it makes it a lot harder.
I don't know.
Okay, so actual useful tool of the week.
That's the useless tool of the week.
Now we're done with the useless tool. Yes.
This will actually help your business grow. That won't. So, you're trying to come up with topics
for
your industry. It's you aren't sure what's shareable, what are people actually going to like. There's a great tool out there, and it's free.
Literally, I like it even better. Yeah.
It's called BuzzSumo. BuzzSumo. I think it's just buzzsumo.com. You can type in a search word. So, for example, I went and typed in florists into BuzzSumo.
Yeah, sure.
And what it does is it goes out to the interwebs and gets the most
shared. That's
a very
technical term.
Yes. The most shared content for that specific search term. So you're not looking at Google and saying, Google, what do you rank highly? Because that's not actually what we're caring about. We're trying to find shareable content that when you share it on your Facebook account, Twitter, whatever you're using, or post your blog, will actually get shared by people because they like it. So these are just titles. So, you know, we're assuming that the content in them is good. The top one is 20 stunning cascading floral bouquets and expert tips from florists. And if there's anything we know,
awesome.
Numbers are good to have in your blog
lists,
post titles.
Lists, boy.
Absolutely, sure.
So, and this also will show you how it was shared across the different social networks.
Fantastic.
It tells me that most of their shares, 5,000 of them to be exact, were on Pinterest.
Absolutely.
So if you're a florist,
sense.
You know that you need to start focusing on Pinterest.
Yep. That's good.
And ours do. She's got glorious images of her work being shared on Pinterest all the time. And actually, ironically, she gets a lot of traffic from image searches from all three of the big search engines. Which really means just the big one plus those other two that don't matter so much. But yeah, she gets a lot of him. So that's a fantastic tool. It's BuzzSumo and is not from the AppSumo guys, apparently. I was just looking at it. And ironically, no. It doesn't seem to have a connection to AppSumo, which has a lot of other great products. So BuzzSumo, we'll link to it in the show notes for today. And so we now have a useless tool and a useful tool of the week. So next week, tune in for the brew of the week. We'll have to figure out a different brew for next week.
Please don't bring Starbucks.
You're just gonna hit
me. You got a Starbucks cup.
I know, you both do. I'm drinking out of one that used to have gold guitars on it, but the gold has sort of disappeared over the years. But anyway, hey, but this has been The Growth Show. We're glad that you have made it this far in episode one, and we're looking forward to another great episode. If you have a topic that you want to hear about, if there's something that you want answered, a question, we want to hear from you, put it in the comments on thegrowthshow.com. Send us an email. We'll be glad to tackle questions. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
I'm excited about this. I think we're going to have a good time.
I agree.
No, it wasn't very fun.
Two out of three agree.
All right. I think we had the sarcasm thing going. You need to have like a sarcasm, signal for it.
I'm sorry. So was that sarcasm? I didn't catch it.
Maybe not. I don't know. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show. We'll be right back.